This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Boy, do we have a lot to get to today on this New Year's Eve. How you guys doing? Y'all ready for next year?
Ready or not, here it comes.
That's what we say every year in Vegas when it's, you know how many people we're going to welcome to Vegas over the weekend here?
Oh, I'm sure. Take a guess? What do you typically expect on a New Year's Eve?
300,000 to 400,000 people.
Oh my gosh.
Our closest friends.
Yeah, well, St. Louis isn't necessarily a destination spot for people, but yeah, I would imagine people are going to Vegas. I did just see that in New Zealand it is midnight, so they just celebrated the start of 2026.
So we can start drinking. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, drinking's allowed. It's New Zealand. That's great. Well, you know, I think 2026, I mean, I'm always optimistic, aren't you, about a new year starting and how exciting it might be. I don't really make New Year's resolutions, so to speak. I know a lot of people do, and nothing wrong with that. But I'm always excited. I anticipate good things for the year to come.
Yeah, I'd like to think that. I mean, this was a roller coaster of a year for me. I mean, it started out very challenging with the unexpected death of my mom, but then obviously my husband and I welcomed our amazing son Hudson in August. So it's been up and down for me, and yeah, I'm hopeful that this next year will be better because, you know, as beautiful as it was to welcome our son, not to put a damper on everything, but it certainly was a challenging year with, you know, the loss of my mom.
No, that's, and I lost my mom, but yours, you know, yours was different because, you know, I don't want to bring everybody down, but yours was harder because you didn't expect it. And I knew for years she was going to pass. It's hard. You know, you always miss your mom. There's no question. You always miss it. You know what I focus on? And I know a lot of people have lost relatives in the last few years. I've lost three aunts and uncle and my mom in the last 2 years, 2.5 years. They were all in their 80s. You know, everybody lived a nice long life. But you know what I've always focused on? I've always focused on the blessing of what I had with them instead of what I lost.
Yep, that's a good way to look at it. You think about, I mean, and so many people got far fewer years than I ever did with my mom.
Right, you know? They didn't get a good mom. Or they didn't get a good dad, right? Yes. I have had a wonderful father, a wonderful mother, and I focus on that. I mean, I know people where if their mom died or something, they'd just be like, haven't talked to her in 10 years anyway. So I focus on that aspect of it.
It's a good perspective.
You know, you focus on what you had and not what you lost. But yeah, I mean, it's a good time of year to reflect on a lot of things, what you're doing with your life, where you're spending your time, all those kinds of things. Because I know that as I've gotten older, I just have kind of winnowed my life down to what really matters, you know, pared it down to the people who matter. Not that I'm excluding anyone, I don't like them or anything, but I'm just focusing my time and attention, trying to be much more intentional about what I do.
That's smart. Right. You're right. It's a good checkpoint to say, okay, here's what worked really well this past year. Here's what didn't work well. Let's adjust and see if we can, I agree, be more intentional about the way we spend our time, the way we spend our money, because that's really what matters, right? No one's going to sit here and, not that we shouldn't work really hard, but I just think about the fact that no one's going to sit here and say, man, I wish I worked harder.
Right.
You know, I wish I worked more. People are going to say, I wish I spent more time when they are off with their loved ones.
Exactly right. That's really important. And you just, you know, and people who matter, not the time wasters, not the people who just come into your life to because they don't want to pay for therapy.
Yeah, we all know people like that.
Yes, and use you and abuse you and suck the life out of you like a praying mantis with its prey. You know, we don't want those people, but we want people who add something. And I don't mean just add to our lives, but where there's a reciprocal relationship.
There's something different about that because you certainly can have a friend who's going through a hard time and you're there for them. And that's very different. I agree. What you're talking about is that's just kind of the way they are.
It's a one-way deal all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's got time for one-way streets. What about you, Ethan? You got any resolutions? What are you going to do next year? What are you going to do better next year, bud? Tell us.
Come in at 3:30 and work.
Lofty that's goals it, that's there, all you, Ethan.
I know. I set good goals that I know I can accomplish.
Well, you know what? Yeah. What you, aim lower. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's like the person who, and I guess I'm guilty of this too, you know, where you have a checklist for the day and you write down really dumb stuff like brush my teeth, eat breakfast, or you've already done the task and you write it down just so you can cross it off.
That way I know I'm going to accomplish everything this year.
There right. you go. I'm rooting for you, Ethan.
Woo-hoo! Yeah, we are. We are rooting for you. See if you can do it. I'm not much. I know people who are list makers and crosser offers. Are you that person? I am not. I should be more like that, but I'm not really.
I aim to be. My husband's like that.
My wife is.
My sister's like that. And man, they really advocate for being, you know, creating lists and such. I can be that way, but that's not naturally how I am. I'm probably not as organized as I would like to be. I'll put it that way.
I'm going to use a different word, okay, that I think you'll relate to. It's confining. Don't you think? Because you and I are a lot alike in that in a lot of ways when it comes to being a little scattered. I don't mean in a bad way, but, you know, jumping from here to there and this and that and the other. And a list is like, no, it's a list. It's confining. I don't want to stick to that.
Yeah. It helps me when I actually create one, I'm thankful I did it. It's funny. It's like when you work out, right? Whenever you get back from when you're leaving the gym, you're so thankful that you went to the gym and you're like, oh, this right. is the best feeling ever. I'm going to do it again tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes and you're like, you know what? I don't feel like working out. And it's just funny how that whatever feels good and you know is good for you, good for your health, good for your mental state. It's funny how hard it is to convince yourself to actually do it.
Yes. That's absolutely true. And something else that I don't know about you, but I sometimes do this with my husband. We'll get invited to some event. And I go out and socialize, you know, a little bit, but not as much as I used to. And sometimes I just don't want to go. He doesn't force me to go, but I know it means something to him. So I'll go. And then I'm always glad I did at the end. I'm just like, I'm glad I got out the door. Especially when you work from home, it's real easy to just stay in your house in your pajamas and not socialize.
We especially if you don't, yeah, if you're not getting out for work and you're just right. in your home office. It is funny, yes. though, where you agree to do something and then the time comes and that same thing, you're like, you know, I really, really don't want to go. I want to stay on the couch. I'm tired. And then, yes, Heidi, it's so true. As soon as you actually go, 9 times out of 10, you're so happy you did.
Yeah, because you get something out of it. And life, you know, life is short and we all need to be spending it, I think, in the most meaningful ways we possibly can. Because time is the most precious thing that we have.
Yep.
And as we, you know, we're all pinched all different directions with responsibilities that we have and things like that. And, you know, Warren Buffett once famously said, the key to success is saying no to almost everything.
You can't get time back.
Right.
So, you know,
you don't get it back.
Obviously, there are people who would probably say no to too much stuff and just never want to try new things and whatever else, right. you know, but that's not what you're saying. Yeah, you're right. You have to prioritize in your life.
Just you have to prioritize the nonsense from the important things. And, you know, I think it's one of those things that we have to, when we start a new year, we think, okay, this is what I don't need. This is what I do need. So I think we're all, you know, clear on that this morning. 2026. I think it's going to be great. I mean, I do. Trump's making some good decisions at this point. Some interesting things are happening. Boy, do we have a lot to talk about. A hashtag, this is what I voted for this morning here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Here's the national anthem.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Heidi Harrison from Mark Cox. Good New Year's Eve. Is that what you say? I guess. Good New Year's Eve. excited about a lot of things happening, including the extra ball drop tonight in New York City, honoring the 250th anniversary of America. And we're going to be speaking with Chris Wiley coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that. Did you see his powerful? I know you did, Kim, where he spoke at the Navy's 250th celebration. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was what, back in, was that October? He spoke right before Trump.
Yeah, he was. I love what he said about the SEAL ethos. And just the thinking, the mentality that these people have, and how he's still giving back, even though he had to be medically retired from being a SEAL and things like that. No, I can't wait to talk to him. That's coming up in a couple hours. We're looking forward to that.
I have so much respect for anyone who's been a Navy SEAL.
Oh my gosh.
The skill that goes into that. Wow.
Yeah, and the mental determination. I don't think I could make it one. I couldn't hack it half a day. I guarantee you that wouldn't go so well. But yeah, I have so much admiration for these guys. Hey, this is what I voted for. Hashtag Trump freezing all child care payments to Minnesota.
Thank goodness.
Yes. Did you know that Minnesota received $185 million in child care payments from the Trump administration last year?
So I was wondering, for perspective, what other states would typically get?
Good question. Don't know. I'd have to look up the entire list of states, but I think this is fantastic. I mean, listen, there's a ton of fraud. Every state has a ton of fraud. We know this. Makes you wonder how many other daycare centers around the country, right, in somebody's house or whatever, are getting money and nobody's really getting any kind of daycare. Right. I love this. Department of Health and Human Services Secretary Jim O'Neill wrote on X yesterday afternoon, "We have frozen all child care payments to the state of Minnesota. This is going to send a ripple. I mean, this has got to scare them to death in Minnesota, and rightfully so. God bless Trump." This would, once again, another thing that would never have happened under Biden. I love this. I'm so excited.
They're calling it, this one guy calls it the Nick Shirley effect. That's the YouTuber who put out this video. And what is really cool, Heidi, is the Trump administration took it one step farther and they said that all payments moving forward will require justification with a receipt or photo evidence before any money is sent to any state. So it doesn't just end with Minnesota, because to your point, no doubt this is going on in other places. They're starting to uncover it. It sounds like in Washington State, Ohio, the dominoes have started falling. This is huge.
Yes, it is huge. And they're saying that the funds will only be released, as you mentioned, when states prove they're being spent legitimately. I love this. It's going to put all the burden on them, as it should, because as we know, this is widespread.
Oh, yeah. There's apparently now a fraud reporting hotline that's been launched onto the child care government website. So wonder if that's blowing up today with people from different states saying, hey, you should probably check out a few hundred daycare centers that don't have any children there.
Exactly. You know, I'm wondering, too, I find it fascinating that the folks who used to be able to control the narrative no longer do. I know it's been going on for a long time. I get it. But the mainstream media, they can't control it. So they get a YouTuber who shows up, Nick Shirley. He's probably got death threats against him at this point. I'm sure he does because of all the money he's costing people. God bless him for being bold enough to point what was going on out and take care of the situation. I mean, this is insane. But the whole point is that mainstream media, they can't control this anymore. They can't tell us what they want us to know. We're out. It's the same thing I always talk about, you know, my hometown, Vegas. The Las Vegas Convention Visitors Authority, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but it's the agency that's supposed to be talking about Vegas and promoting Vegas. They've lost the plot. They have no control anymore. People get on Reddit and they get on X and YouTube and Instagram and talk about how much they've gotten ripped off. They can't control it anymore. And this is what's so fascinating about, I guess you'd call it citizen journalism, right?
Oh, I think so. And that's been increasingly more popular because a lot of the journalists are not, they don't have the resources and they have different restrictions slapped on them. I can speak to that, having worked at different TV stations across the country. And someone like a Nick Shirley can say, hey, I'll do whatever the heck I want. I'm going to hire my own security, pay for it out of my own pocket, which now I'm sure he's getting flooded with donations of people wanting to support him,
sure,
which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, nothing is stopping him from going to do that aside from maybe the fear of being killed. Because like you said, Heidi, I'll guarantee you that guy has had people wanting to kill him now.
Yeah, it's amazing how things can take off. But God bless him for doing that, because the mainstream media, they want to tell us. You know, it's been a while since they've had total control of this, but they're used to that. They tell us what to think. Remember years ago, it was, what's her name on MSNBC? in the morning. Can't think of her name.
I can't think either.
Who basically, there was a video of her talking about how, no, we tell you what to think. And it's like, no, you don't, madam. You do not. You think you do, though.
Yeah.
Well, and I remember when I was long before I got into talk radio, I remember it was at my dad's house one time, and I was just hanging out over there for the day, and there was some news that came on. It was Dan Rather, and he was talking about, you know, coming up this evening on CBS News. He says, blah, 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 blah. We'll put it in perspective for you. And I went, what? I don't need you to put it in perspective for me. You tell me what the news is. As unslanted as you can possibly manage, and I'll put it in perspective for myself. But that's their attitude.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Well, I mean, that's part of the problem, and it's a misconception, I believe, with media, where people think there are some journalists out there who truly are trying to tell you what to think and not have you see certain information. But a lot of it is, for whatever reason, media, like television, for example, tends to attract very, very liberal people, liberal-minded people. And so they truly believe that they are doing justice by you, the viewer, by not including what they would deem as misinformation.
Right.
So it's not that they think, oh, I'm intentionally trying to not show this to you. They think it's so inaccurate that they're helping you, that they're sorting out fact from fiction.
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense, because it's different than what people tend to say. They think that people sit in there in those editorial meetings and they conspire on how to make it one-sided. That's not it. They're trying to, quote unquote, balance it. The problem is they're so blinded with their little rose-colored goggles on, with their liberal mindsets, that it ends up coming out one way, and it's very, very biased.
Right, because they don't know anything else. And they get out of college. They're surrounded by liberals in college. They get out of college. They go to work at a TV station, or they're writing or something. And they really honestly don't know anyone who thinks differently than they do. And that's a pretty scary world to live in.
You knew the people in newsrooms who were conservative. I'll put it that way. Because it was far and few between.
Right.
And they weren't usually well-liked. Because yeah. I used to be liberal, so I can speak to that.
You know... Yeah, I went down this road years and years ago. I won't bore you with a whole long story, but I was asked to do a local weekly television show, you know, political thing, left-right show. And when they approached me, I said, no, I don't want to do it. Local shows always suck. They're poorly produced. They look, you know, it's embarrassing. Oh, no, it's not going to be like that. And I was on with a well-known local liberal columnist, too. At that time, I got along fine with him. I had no problem with him. But anyway, to make a very long story short, I didn't last long, because I literally couldn't. Everything I said, I had to have attribution for. Everything he said was taken as gospel. Mm-hmm. And it got to where it was just, I was like, no, I'm not doing this. I can handle it. I'm a big girl. But plus, I felt like I was repeating the same stories I'd already done on the radio. I was like, I already did this morning. Why am I talking about this again? And I'm much easier. But the point is, everything I said, I was challenged on. I have never, ever been sued for anything I've said on the air for all the years I've been doing radio, which is well over two decades now. Never been sued for slandering anybody, ever. And so I'm not irresponsible. I have an opinion. I can be snarky, but I'm not irresponsible. But everything I said, well, you can't. No, I'm not proving that, because that's my opinion based on the information. But challenge, challenge, challenge. Everything I said was challenged. When my contract said commentator, I said, I refer to the contract where it says commentator. It's my opinion, but it's not a false opinion. It's my opinion, and these are the facts. But boy, they don't get it, do they? Really don't get it.
Had you just said, this is my truth, that would have helped them understand, because that's something that they can get behind. They support that. It's constantly evolving. Going
and
back
you just
to the,
make it up.
Yeah, yeah, it absolutely changes every day. Going back to the whole mainstream media thing, I was seeing something about how there was a list of all these mainstream outlets that did not cover the Minnesota thing. And now it's so big with the Trump administration getting involved that it's hard to ignore. But even when you go to, for example, as I am right now, CNN's, you know, the main page, there's a bunch of other big stories about how basically Trump's terrible. But one of the top stories, bruising on Trump's left hand sparks renewed questions about his health. And then on a smaller little section is the story about the Trump administration freezing child care payments to Minnesota. And that's it. The MS Now, they call it, instead of MSNBC.
Yeah,
and
right.
These outlets are just, they for days now have been ignoring this really, really big story.
Yeah, it's amazing how they do that. They pick and choose what they're going to say. Well, you know what? I think most people are smarter than that now. And hopefully people look to multiple sources for their information. They should. But I love this that Trump's doing that. Here in Minnesota, whack. And anybody else who's doing this, Clean house, baby. Clean house. Hashtag, this is what I voted for. I'm Heidi Harris.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kim on a whim.
In these final hours of 2025, as we prepare to welcome in a new year, the start of 2026, it's always fun and maybe a little bit scary to think back of some of the biggest stories of this past year, because obviously you have the more recent stories like what we were just talking about with this wild Minnesota fraud with the Somali community. Of course, you have the Epstein story, but both of those are very recent and they're ongoing. There are some stories that happened that you may have forgotten about. So here we go. What we're going to do is we're going, again, I have top 10. We're going to try to get through the first seven or so right now. And then when I have Kim on a whim around 7:50 or so, we're going to talk about the top three. But while we're doing this, feel free. We have that text line that's live, 314-241-9797. Feel free to reach out to us, comment on the social media, Facebook, Rumble, X, YouTube, where we're live every morning, and let us know what you think are the top 10 biggest stories of 2025. Maybe I've forgotten some. Here we go. This is number 10 for me. This is that Blue Origin rocket launch back on April 14th. Remember our gal, Gail King, Katy Perry, Lauren Sanchez, they all went to space. And do you remember what caused a lot of controversy with that?
A bunch of women in a capsule?
Well, it was the first all-female mission,
right,
if you want
there
to
was
call
that.
It a mission.
Right.
But Gail King comes down and, you know, she's kissing the ground, so happy to see ground, the actual land so she can touch. And she refers to herself as an astronaut. Gail, you went up there for 10 minutes. My friend, you are not an astronaut. And she did respond to that. Listen to this.
Please don't call it a ride. That is not a friggin' ride. Whenever a man goes up, you have never said to an astronaut, boy, what a ride. You know, we duplicated the same trajectory that Alan Shepard did back in the day, pretty much. No one called that a ride. It was called a flight. It was called a journey, because a ride implies that it's something frivolous or something that's lighthearted. There was nothing frivolous about what we did.
Okay, fine. Maybe it was more than a ride. I will probably give her that. If I went to space, I'd probably want it to be called more than a ride, but not much more. You're certainly not an astronaut, Gail. And how many months have passed since April 14th? You weren't an astronaut then. You're still not an astronaut now.
I got to ride the back of an F-15 once. Does that make me a pilot?
It does, Heidi. Yeah. It, automatically, if you go in the jet, you are a pilot.
Okay. So if I go in, I get sick and I look at all the buttons and don't touch anything like the pilot told me, that still makes me a pilot, right?
According to Gail King, you are a pilot. Congratulations,
okay.
Heidi. All right, moving on. Number nine. Now, let's play the sound here. Before I tell you number nine, you'll know it just from hearing about this. Here we go.
This is stunning. It is an American, Monsignor.
Again, a great, great surprise. An American, the prefect of the Congregation of Bishops, who born in Chicago, an Augustinian from a religious order, but moved to Peru as a missionary, and an amazing surprise for the church and the world.
Remember that. This was May 8th. Pope Leo elected from Chicago, first pope from the United States after Pope Francis died on April 21st. You know, Heidi, I've been a little disappointed. I'm not Catholic, but I've been a little disappointed in some of the things that Pope Leo has said, including about illegals and all the things. But he does have a brother, I believe, who lives in Florida, and turns out he is a Trump supporter.
That is hilarious. I did not know that. Well, I'm not Catholic, so I don't even know how they pick these guys. It's something about smoke that comes out of the building or something.
Yeah, like. Yeah, the white smoke comes out, so everyone stands outside and watches to see when they've elected a new pope. Because they have black smoke whenever, for days and days, whenever they can't agree on someone, then they'll just put out black smoke. But, yeah.
Love to be a fly on the wall for those discussions.
Oh, I bet. All right, here we go. Number 8. This is that crazy military helicopter and that plane collision. Remember that? Everyone on board died. 67 people. This happened near Reagan Airport in Washington, D.C. on January 29th. This was one of the first things, one of the biggest things that happened at the start of this year. And it turns out that the helicopter's, I guess it was the transponder that was off, and they weren't responding like they should.
Don't know. I don't really know. I've heard different things about it. Apparently it went up and hit the plane. That's what happened. The helicopter went up.
They were, flying at the right elevation.
Right, correct.
Which was very odd.
Yeah.
And man, you just felt for those families who had multiple loved ones on that plane, and everyone died, and the video was just devastating to watch, and
awful.
You just see it being played over and over again.
A busy airport like that, those kind of things should not happen anywhere, certainly not in a busy airport like that.
Well, and then you had all the, I keep wanting to say TSA agents, but that's not what I'm thinking of. What am I thinking of?
Air traffic controllers.
Thank you, air traffic controllers. And then it called into question all of that. Do we have enough staffing? And, the guy's trying to say, we had far fewer people than we should have. Well, that's a problem.
Thanks for telling us that. Yeah, information I could have used yesterday.
Number 7, the government shutdown that ran from October 1st through November 12th. Remember, recently, the Trump administration gave $10,000 to the TSA agents who continued working through the shutdown. But it was the longest shutdown in U.S. history, lasting 43 days. Legislation failed 14 times before finally passing and the government reopening.
What do you think about what the Americans believe on this? I mean, they should believe that the Democrats are the ones who caused this, because they are the ones who caused this. But, of course, Democrats are going to blame Trump for everything no matter what.
Well, of course. Democrats are convinced they're taking back control of the House. Nancy Pelosi has already said that Hakeem Jeffries is waiting to be Speaker of the House.
Love to see that. Of course, the Democrats, they can't give Trump credit for anything, and they're going to continue to be obstructionist. And hopefully the Republicans can stay on message and remind everybody of why the shutdown occurred. I didn't even notice the shutdown. Did you notice the shutdown?
No, but I was
on your life?
I was on maternity leave, so I was in my own little bubble, if I'm being honest.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah. All right, number 6. That was that awful Texas flooding on July 4th. 135 people killed, many of which were children. It was the Camp Mystic. Remember that Christian summer camp
terrible.
For girls? Flooding came overnight. Guadalupe River in that area rose 26 feet in 45 minutes. They didn't have a flood warning system even that existed in Kerr County where this happened. Listen to some of the sound from that.
I kept saying, there's a child. And next thing I know, I saw him from up above, floating downstream, and when I ran down, I mean, he was gone at that point. And so in those moments, you wonder, what could I have done? And my husband was just saying, Julia, do not get in the water, because there just was nothing to be done.
Now, what's incredible is that boy she mentioned, who she watched floating down the river, he survived.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that. Yeah.
I mean, great. It was, oh my gosh. Can you imagine getting that call, though, as a parent?
No, heartbreaking situation. Beautiful part of Texas, by the way. Absolutely gorgeous part of Texas. But yeah, subject to flooding.
Yeah, wow. I know. Well, certainly changes have been implemented since then. Mm-hmm. Number 5. I wrote Doge, and people started hating Elon Musk. They started having those the Elon Musk protests. And then remember that it then led down the road to a feud between Trump and Musk over the big, beautiful bill. It was just a mess. But people were setting the Teslas on fire. People who had a Tesla who were liberal, they were putting stickers on their cars in some cases just to basically say, I may have a Tesla, but I don't support Musk. I don't even like Trump. Please don't vandalize my car.
Right. My neighbor did too. I bought this before Trump, kind of thing. Yep.
Wow. Didn't they blow up a Tesla? Was that in Vegas?
Well, there was a guy who blew his Tesla up, but they don't really blow up. That's the problem. It blows up inside, but it doesn't.
That's true.
They're incredibly well built.
Yes, they are.
Didn't quite go the way he thought it was going to go.
Musk might be crazy, but dang, he builds a good vehicle and a good rocket.
I guess so. I got to drive one once, and it was fun.
Oh,
not the truck, but the Tesla car. It was, I'm not going to lie, it was a nice car.
Musk, I did not like how Musk was going off on Trump on X, but then he later did come back out and say he regretted some of the posts. It seemed like, honestly, maybe he was drinking. I don't even know if he does drink, but the messages were just crazy. He was so mad at Trump for what he was doing with the big, beautiful bill and didn't think it was a good idea and left Doge.
Well, remember what happened with Vivek who? Ramaswamy, what happened to him? Wasn't he running for something in Ohio? Remember that? He was part of that, supposedly, and then he was out the door in, what, a week?
Yeah.
2 weeks?
Yeah, he never even, before it even really officially took off, I think he had already said, hey, I'm not doing it. But in all fairness, wasn't that to run for governor in Ohio?
There's a lot of egos in the room. Let's be honest here. Can you imagine being in the room with those three?
Oh, I'm
Trump
sure.
Trump and Elon and Ramaswamy.
I do like Vivek. I think he'd be a great governor for Ohio. All right, the last one, because I said I was going to save the top three biggest stories of 2025 for the next Kim on a Whim, which is coming up at around 7:50. So in the meantime, again, reach out on social media or our text line and tell us if you think I missed one or, you know, out of order. 314-241-9797. Number four, I have Liberation Day, which was, of course, when those tariffs took effect on April 5th. Keep in mind, they were supposed to take effect, I think it was April 2nd, and then it got pushed back. It was that 10% baseline tariff on all countries. And then for the countries that have, you know, been implementing these crazy tariffs on us for years and years and years, and we've just been taking it, he did include an additional tariff. Businesses started freaking out and charging customers more. I was seeing prices on Amazon in some cases skyrocket. And it was this ongoing feud. But now, all these months later, we can sit here and say Trump was right. That so far, seems as though the tariffs have been effective.
Yeah, the sky has not fallen like they predicted. I mean, listen, these weren't tariffs that he slapped on them. This was basically trying to level the playing field here. And
well,
Democrats
exactly.
are always about that. Aren't Democrats always about leveling the playing field? I thought they were. Oh, until Trump took over.
Why did we take this for so long? Why did other presidents not put it? I mean, did Trump try to do this in his first term and he just wasn't able to do it because of COVID and all the other things
going
on?
Not that I recall, but he's been talking about tariffs. I mean, there are videos of him on Oprah
yes.
talking about tariffs, right? So for a very long time, he's been concerned as a businessman, why is America getting screwed? And it's a legitimate question.
100%.
Yeah. That's Kim on a Whim. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Cox. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Cox. I just put something out on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter, Heidi Harris Show. I just put something out. It's not good for the radio. The audio is not as good enough for the radio, but somebody walked up to Francis Collins. Remember him and his wife? Remember Francis Collins from the NHS? And he was pushing the COVID vaccines. And somebody walked up to him, told him he had blood on his hands, and he and Fauci deserved to be put in prison. God bless him. I just retweeted
why
that.
Why do I not remember that?
Well, it's interesting because he's a Christian guy who was one of the people who I believe was behind the Human Genome Project and all this kind of stuff. And he was on the right side, I thought, until all of a sudden COVID hit and all of a sudden he just was hook, line, and sinker for the shots. But I love it when people, you know, people should confront these folks in public. And he mentioned a couple of vaccine-injured people. One woman I've actually interviewed, he mentioned her and some other people. But I posted it on Twitter. You can check it out, X,
yeah,
your show. These people should be told off, honest with you.
I heard an interview with the former Surgeon General under Trump's first administration, an interview mm-hmm. with him yesterday. And of course, he's pushing to get the 5 million boosters of the COVID shot and talking about how it's effective even, was he saying like newborns? I mean, it was crazy. And they did, of course, address the whole issue with myocarditis and vaccine injuries, because that's a thing whether you want to admit it or not. And he's like, well, you know, you're odds of getting injured from the vaccine are so small, but the odds of you having serious ramifications, like what do they call it, long COVID, if you don't get it, that's worse. So you're better off getting it. And I'm just thinking, you know,
they're liars.
If people have experience. I mean, people have experienced symptoms of long COVID. It is a thing where people recovered from it, but never really recovered from it. And they've had these weird things ever since. But ultimately, you should be able to weigh what you think is best, right? And you should have the ability to go get 15 boosters if you want it and have access to that. But you also shouldn't be having it pushed on you.
Yeah, well, this idea that we were all at equal risk from COVID was a lie to begin with. We weren't all at equal. I got it. I got the Wuhan thing. I was flat on my back for 10 days. I'm not saying it wasn't a thing. And it wasn't just the flu. And I get all that. But because I'm generally healthy, get out there, get some sun, exercise every day. I'm not Susie Jim, but I'm out walking my dogs and things like that. At least I'm moving. I don't smoke, not being Mother Superior. But I mean, there are certain risk factors people have. And some of them they can't help and others they can. But we all were not at equal risk of dying from this. That was a complete lie. And they wanted to terrify you into getting these silly shots. I'm not saying, I'm not giving people medical advice. You want to get shots, go ahead. You want to get the measles shot, go ahead. But all these things should have been discussed. And of course, they didn't do the research and they, you know, they didn't really know and they've never really talked about, you see average drugs advertised on TV, right? They'll give you a whole list at the very end. Might cause this, might cause that. Well, that was never true of the COVID shots because they never actually got the approval. They had the temporary approval. That's different.
Oh, I didn't approve of how Trump handled it his first term. And no. I get that there were a lot of different things happening and they're trying to get this out fast. But what was it? Operation Warp Speed.
Yep.
Trump's a great president, but I have been critical and I will remain critical of the way he handled this the first time he was in office.
Well, they used his ego to get it through.
Probably. Like, oh, I got it through so
correct.
Fast. Yeah, you're probably
usually,
right.
Yeah, usually it takes 6 to 8 years before you get any kind of a vaccine like this. And he did it in months. And I'm the greatest ever. It's the fastest ever. Blah, 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 blah. But these people were ready with something and they were just used his ego. Yeah, you're going to be the greatest president ever because you're going to get through faster than anybody else. Look at that. Yeah, you're going to look like a hero. And Trump is still not acknowledged how many people are hurt by the shot. He's not done that. And he should have owned up a long time ago. He's never done that.
Don't you think that there would be more trust with a lot of these officials if they would admit, if they would report the number of vaccine injuries the same way that they do, for example, like a death from something? Like they're so quick to say, like, for example, there's a story about like, oh, 3 people or 2 people have already died from the flu in Jefferson County or something like that. They're so quick to report that. Why can't you also report the number of injuries that come from, again, some of these shots? That's what needs to be also covered. And it's going to be hard for a lot of people who have already made up their mind and said that I can't trust you to go back.
No, they don't. They won't talk about it. And by the way, have you noticed how somebody can drop dead at 35 and nobody even asks why anymore? It's not listed in the news article. It won't be listed in the obituary. They just suddenly died. No one's even curious. It used to be if someone died who was our age or younger, we go, I wonder what happened. Not anymore. People don't even ask. Crazy.
A lot of the athletes were dropping
dead. They had a guy in L.A., a year or so ago, who was an anchor in L.A., went home from a normal shift and died. You'd think his reporter buddies would investigate what happened to him. Never heard another word about him. Just dropped dead at home. Okay. Nobody's asking. It's odd how people don't want to ask. And I mentioned that because now they're talking about, listen to this. And Fox News is just as bad as anybody else when it comes to this. Fox News headline, world's most contagious virus detected at 2 major U.S. airports amid holiday traffic. Trying to terrify you into getting a measles shot. And what I didn't realize, looked into this a little bit, what I didn't realize is if you were born, I think before 1957, it was assumed because so many people had it that you have immunity. Wait a minute, what? CDC says that. You can have immunity? You can, what? I had no idea. I had to try to convince people in my own life after I got COVID. I said, why would I get a shot for something I already had? Since when? In medical history, we ever said that you already had it, so therefore get a shot for it. It makes no sense. It made no sense. And people bought it.
Now people are talking about, is it the K variant of the flu that they're calling the super flu or something like that?
They're saying
it's worse than the regular flu. I mean, the flu is bad, no doubt. I had the flu last year and it knocks you on your butt.
Yeah. But we used to be able to I had the flu literally like 20 years ago. I remember because I just started a new job and I literally could not stand up in the hallway to even brush my teeth or comb my hair for about a week. And it hit me hard. But we used to be able to just stay in bed, moan and groan and get past it. And now it's like, I'm going to take a shot that's going to be in my body forever because I don't want to be sick for 4 days. Really?
I agree.
They convinced us, didn't they? They worked hard. But apparently, the New Jersey Department of Health is all concerned because a couple of people, 11 confirmed cases of measles in New Jersey. Oh, that's definitely an epidemic.
Stay in your homes. Wear a mask.
Don't go to restaurants. Don't go to church.
6 feet away, everyone.
worked so well the last time. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Cox.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.